glory shines around. Come all way, your glory shines around. So let your glory shine around. Let your glory shine. King of glory, King of glory, so let your glory shine around, let your glory shine around, King of glory be found, King of glory, so let your glory shine around.
I Praise your name. Yes, we praise your name.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. We praise you, Father. We praise you and we worship you. God, we are thankful for what you have done for us and what you are going to do. We praise you, Lord. God, you are faithful and you are good. Your word is true. Lord, I ask you, God, today just to manifest your presence, your truth to each and every person here, those who are listening by Blog Talk Radio this morning. God, we welcome them, and we ask you, God, to touch everyone listening, those who will listen, Lord, to the archive broadcast. We ask you, Lord, to touch every person today. Lord God, we know, God, that this little church touches thousands of people, Lord, every week and every month. Lord, we just thank you and we just pray, God, for your truth and the power of the Holy Spirit and the message of Jesus Christ. Lord, we'll touch every person listening in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, everyone. We welcome you to Fire and Grace Church, visitors this morning, and those listening by internet radio. I want everyone this morning to turn to Matthew chapter 24 first, because I would be amiss in my duty here if I didn't deal with what was going on in the world. I'm going to talk a little bit about some things that are happening. Let me look up something here. We'll put this up first. I want you to turn to Matthew 24. We'll turn to several places. This is from my website here, theinternal.org. But I want to share some things this morning that I've really got some of the things I've already shared with some of you, some on the radio. But, again, we have visitors here today, and we have people, new people listening all the time. And so sometimes the Lord has me cover some areas that we haven't covered. But, of course, there's going to be a little bit of new information in this as well for those of you who have heard this. I want to share two things that are going on. It's very clear, and it's very clear by Bible prophecy, and it's very clear by what's happening in the world and in the news. It's very clear that we are in the last days that Jesus spoke of, that the apostles spoke of, and that the prophets of the Old Testament spoke of. There really is no question anymore. There's no doubts. There's no wondering. It's not 20 years away. It's not 50 years away. It's not 100 years away. It is upon us. And there are things happening that only the Bible foretold. And this is something I want to get across to you, especially to those of us, those of you who are new to our ministry, that is, there is no other religion on the face of the earth that has a scriptures like the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's no religion that foretold all of these events thousands of years before they would happen to the letter, specific details. Not the Quran, not the Hadith, the Sunnahs of Islam, not the Hindu Vedas, not the writings of Buddha, not Nostradamus. Nobody foretold specifically what would be happening in the days just prior to the return of Jesus, the Messiah, the true Messiah. Nobody foretold these things except God Almighty and the Scriptures, okay? Now, you're going to see something today that's very specific that's happening right now that you may be ignoring or you may have heard little tidbits in the news, but it is going to affect the entire globe before it's over with, okay? And that's why I feel it imperative for me to share this with you, but also to give you the Bible answer where your hope is and where your strength will be found and where your refuge will be. Because what is coming, what it really is already here, is terrifying. It's terrifying for the people in the Middle East right now. It's terrifying for the people in Africa right now. And Americans, you ought to just be praising God and thanking God that it's not here yet. You hear I said yet. Everything that's happening in the rest of the world will eventually get here, okay? But we have been blessed that we are not dealing with stuff that Africa's dealing with, that the Middle East dealing with, even Europe right now. We've been pretty blessed. It's still kind of calm here. But folks, this is the calm before the storm. Now, there's two things going on, and I'm just going to share this with you as before we look into this. The Bible said in the last days, and in Acts chapter 2, matter of fact, why don't we just look at Acts chapter 2. Hold your spot in Matthew 24. Just hold your spot there. We're coming right back to it. Go to Acts chapter 2. Everybody there? Now, this was the first sermon of the church after the day of Pentecost. It was on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit fell on the 120 after Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead. He stayed with his disciples for 40 days, teaching them things that they needed to understand. And then Jesus ascended back to heaven, and he said when he ascended back to heaven, he said, I will come again, right? And the angel stood there when Jesus ascended and said, why are you looking up? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, will come in like manner. Jesus, that is the promise. It's throughout almost every book of the Bible that Jesus, the true God Almighty in the flesh, the true Messiah, will come again. And he gave us signs to look for so we would know when he was coming. And he gave us things so that we would, these warnings, so that we would get our lives together and get the sin out of our lives and get right with God before it was too late. Really, some of you in here have said you don't like to hear about Bible prophecy and about end times, but let me just tell you the purpose of them. The purpose of them was for the people who would live in those times to wake up and deal with your issues before it was too late. So it is God's mercy that he revealed these things before they would happen, so you would have a chance to see, number one, that the Bible's true, that Jesus is the Messiah, the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way you're going to go to heaven is through him. And he wanted you to know so you would get ready, because he said there will be many deceivers in these last days, many false religions, many false prophets, many false teachers, many things going on that exactly what happened in today. And so he knew deception would be on a large scale. And so he gave us plenty of warning. So let's read this. This is Acts chapter 2. And we'll go to verse 14. It says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, and of course he's talking about the name of the Lord Jesus. So here he says, in the last days, God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on people and they're going to prophesy. Now the word prophesy means to speak by inspiration of God, and also to foretell things before they happen, okay? And God said he would do this by speaking to his people, giving prophetic words, or he would give prophetic dreams, or he would give prophetic vision. Now, for those of you that don't understand that or you've never experienced that, let me just tell you, it's for real. God will speak to his people. Amen? God reveals things to those who are close to him, those who are listening, and those who have these callings upon their lives to hear from him. All right? Now, I believe every Christian can hear from God if they'll draw near to him and to get in the Word and study the Word. Every Christian can hear. God can give any Christian a dream or a vision. But then God has called apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He's called people to be leaders and elders in the kingdom of God, and particularly to prophets and apostles. They're going to operate in dreams and vision, okay, and prophetic words. Now, I say that because, again, we have people, new people, all the time listening to these things, all right? Now, many, many, many years ago when I was 19 years old, the Lord called me first to be a prophet. And he told me I would be a prophet to the nations. What's amazing is he told me I would be a prophet to the nations in 1987. Immediately in 1988, I went to Israel and ended up witnessing to people from all nations, preaching the gospel and sharing the vision I had of Jesus and the witness of Jesus and how Jesus changed my life from a partying, drunkard, college student to on fire for God, living right the way I was supposed to walk with him and knowing God. So that happened almost immediately. And since that time, I've been to Africa several times. I've been to Ireland out in the Middle East, out in the middle of the Indian Ocean. But even now, what God is doing through Facebook and the Internet and the radio and everything else, literally I'll have 40 or 50 nations of people, thousands of people that are listening through iTunes, through Facebook, through this radio, through the archive. So God has brought that word to pass. But I just want to tell you that in the beginning, and this was a prophetic word, and I'm saying this too, you young people, listen to me. God wants you to draw close enough to him where you can learn to hear his voice. You hear me? That's why I'm approaching this morning in really kind of a basic manner, because I want you to understand that God loves you. He has a plan for your life that's better than your own plan. And he wants to speak to you, and he wants to show you things, and he wants to reveal things to you about your life and about what's going to happen in the world and how you should be living your life. So this is vitally important. So why I'm sharing this today is not to lift me up. I'm telling this just so you know that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are real, okay? Now, this is a prophetic word. This was on December 31st, 2013. Nancy and Faith went to Kevin and Andrea's house to be there for New Year's Eve. I wasn't feeling well, so I stayed home. And I was just praying, and right before midnight on December 31st, the Lord spoke to me very clearly, and he said these words to me. He said, "This is the word, this is my word for 2014. And he said to me the word unprecedented. And then he told me, he said, there will be unprecedented events happen in the world in 2014, in warfare, in terrorism, in the environment, in religion. He said, across the board, there will be unprecedented events. He said, there will be government events, economic events, military events that have never happened before or that are now beyond they're beyond anything that we could comprehend. Now, I shared this word. I typed it up and I put it on Facebook that night. Then we put it on the website shortly thereafter. Now, that was in December 31st of 2013. That was a prophecy. God gave me a word of prophecy that was both an inspiration, it was from the Holy Spirit, and it was about the future. Okay? Now, since that time, we've had some unprecedented events. Starting 2 days after God gave me that word, we had the coldest winter in North American history. You hear me? 49 record lows were broken in a two-week period. They say it is the coldest winter of North America. All right? They're saying this winter may be even colder than last year. So much for global warming, huh? Right? But anyway, that began immediately. Then, in February, we began to hear of unprecedented, and these are the words in the articles. I began to see articles all over the board, the word unprecedented. Unprecedented drought in Australia. Unprecedented drought in Israel. Unprecedented drought in California. That's why our food prices are going up. That's why meat prices are going up. But then it went, another event happened. Now, most of you, not even in your lifetime, have you seen Russia rise up and take over another country? Okay? Nobody dreamed that that would ever happen again. Now, they did it back in the 1940s, but not since Russia collapsed the Soviet Union and they became a so-called democracy. But, of course, in March, we saw an event take place that hadn't happened in any of our lifetime, and that was Vladimir Putin and Russia took over part of the Ukraine and are probably getting ready to take over the entire Ukraine. But they actually took Crimea from the Ukraine and annexed it now to part of Russia. All right? And the Russian bear is a big figure in end-time Bible prophecy. So the Russian bear is now beginning to move. But then also starting, and really they trace it back now to January, they're calling it the biggest, most unprecedented outbreak of Ebola that's ever happened. Okay? Now let me just show you something here. I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 24. Everybody get Matthew 24? Did you hold your spot? Then you did better than me. All right? Matthew 24, let's read this. Verse 3. This is Jesus sitting on the Mount of Olives with his disciples and says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what will be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." And then he says this, "All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." We could read much more of this. It leads up to, this is an outline Jesus gave of what was going to happen just leading up to his second coming. Now, a lot of people will say, well, there's always been wars. There's always been earthquakes. There's always been plagues, right? That's what people say all the time. I'm looking up something here. Here's your news for 2014. This is CBS News. What does that say there? Somebody read that headline for me loudly. You know why they say they're not linked? Because they try to say it's not. There's nothing linked to it because they don't want to admit the Bible's true. Okay? Now think about this verse here. Jesus said there were three things that would be the beginning of sorrows, but there would be something unique would happen. Yes, there's always been wars. Yes, there's been plagues. That's the word pestilence. Yes, there's been earthquakes. But he talked about, obviously, he was saying that there's going to be something significant change in all three of these things that is going to be easily distinguishable, that you will know you've entered into a different time period. So let me just give you the stats on this. Big earthquakes, and we're talking about earthquakes 7.0 or greater. 1979, we averaged about 10 a year until 1972. 1979 to 1992, all right? In 1992, it jumped to 12.6 per year. Then when we crossed over around the year 2000, big earthquakes above 7.0 jumped to an average of 16 per year. Just in the first 3 months of 2014, we had over 20, double the average between 1979 and 1992. Okay? And there are going to be more. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you another prophecy this morning because the Lord told me there's going to be a 10.0. There's never been a 10.0 recorded in history. There will be a 10.0. Biggest one we've ever had is 9.5. The Japanese earthquake in 2011 that caused a tsunami was a 9.0. A 10 will make the entire earth wobble on its axis. A 9 moved Japan 8 feet, the entire island. Okay? And we know about the devastation that that caused. So here is something in 2014 in the area of earthquakes that's very significant. And I'm just telling you, 2014 is not over with yet. Okay? But the other thing he said is wars and rumors of wars. Now think about what we've seen already in 2014. We've seen Russia rise up and take over Crimea and threatening to take over the Ukraine and possibly other countries in Europe. So we have a war and a rumor of war, right? Then we have Israel in a Gaza, the 50-day Gaza war, and it looks like that Hamas is rearming and redigging tunnels, so that war will crank back up. We also have Iran building a nuclear weapon and Israel saying they're not going to let them do that. So you have that rumor of war that's coming. Then you have now ISIS and the Islamic State rising up and threatening Jordan and the countries and Israel and all the countries, even the United States. And so-called Obama declares war on them the other night, except he wouldn't call it war. It is a extended counterterrorism action, but not a war. I'm sorry, if you send in soldiers and airstrikes and bullets and bombs, that's a war, right? Now, this is not to mention there are tensions right now between China and Japan. China and Japan, all the people, the majority of people in China and Japan say that they believe there will be a war between China and Japan over the war crimes of the Japanese in the World War II and their lack of apologies to the Chinese. There's tensions between Pakistan and India, and both of them are nuclear powers. Pakistan is about to fall. The government's about to fall apart. Their nuclear weapons are not secure, and actually Pakistan's nuclear weapons could fall into the hands of ISIS or other radical Muslim jihadists. The world as we know it is changing. We are definitely, we're living, as a matter of fact, I've been alive, I'm 46, all right? I have never heard from more people that we are on the brink of nuclear war, not since 1984. I remember there was a lot of talk back in the 80s about a possible nuclear war between Russia and the United States. But do you know that a Russian general recently, I mean in the last 2 weeks, went on record to say that he needs a doctrine. He wants his President Putin and he wants the Russian government to create a doctrine for a preemptive nuclear strike against the United States and our NATO allies, meaning to do it first. Folks, we are living in a time where we're living and breathing wars and rumors of wars. And radical Islam, and when I say radical Islam, I only do that for your sakes, because ISIS and these people, they're just normal Islam. You have lukewarm Islam and you have normal Islam. Normal Islam is ISIS. Lukewarm Islam is Muslims who are not out cutting people's heads off yet. Okay? Just so you know. But here what I want to get back to is this right here about Ebola. Now, let's read this. In Matthew 24, Jesus said, one of these signs, verse 7, nations shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences or plagues in diverse places. Now, the word pestilence here or plagues means not just disease, it means deadly disease, a disease that kills you, that kills quickly, that spreads quickly, and that kills a lot of people. Okay? Now, this article here is in the New York Times. Okay? I'm going to read this because I'm not going to read the whole article, but I made these points for you. I read the whole article. You can look this article up, New York Times, What We Are Afraid to Say About Ebola. All right? Now, you got to remember, this began in 2014, the year God told me unprecedented events are going to happen. Right? Y'all with me? Stick with me for just a second. I'm not trying to scare you, but if it scares you, it's part of it. Okay, hang on a second. Are you serious? Gotta love it. It's gone. Completely gone. Is it? Huh? Ah, there it is. Gets confusing. All right. Y'all with me? Here's what this article says. This is New York Times. This article is written by Michael T. Osterholm. He's the director of the Center of Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. And this is what he says. He says that this Ebola outbreak is unprecedented, was his words. He said it's beyond control now. He said they expect 1.2 million deaths in the next 6 months. And 4.7 million infected within the next 6 months because they can't stop it. The entire country of Sierra Leone may be killed off. You hear what I'm saying? It's spreading so fast now, they can't stop it. Now, this is what he says in the article, and I'm just going to give you his main points. Number one, he says, that this Ebola epidemic in West Africa has the potential, this is a direct quote, the Ebola epidemic in West Africa has the potential to alter history as much as any plague has ever done. Number two, he said, last week the World Health Organization warned that by early October there may be thousands of new cases per week in Liberia, Sierra Leone, Guinea, and Nigeria, and I've been to Nigeria twice. Number three, he said, we are in totally uncharted waters and that Mother Nature is the only force in charge of the crisis at this time. Number four, he said, this outbreak is very different from the 19 that have occurred in Africa over the past 40 years. Number five, he said, the current Ebola virus hyperevolution is unprecedented. There has been more human-to-human transmission in the past 4 months than most likely occurred in the last 1,000 years. Six, and he said this is the scariest part of it. He said if certain mutations occurred, it would mean that just breathing would put one at risk for contracting Ebola. Infections could spread quickly to every part of the globe. In other words, it could go airborne. Now, frankly, I believe it's already airborne. That's why so many people are getting sick and dying. Even health workers, nurses, doctors who are taking precautions are dying. As a matter of fact, in one country, he said that now there's only 250 doctors left for over 4 million people. Go figure that one. You want to talk about a serious problem. Listen to this. Number seven, he said, there was an incident with the Ebola Respin virus among monkeys at a quarantine station near Washington State. And this is back years ago. He said the virus was transmitted through breathing, and the outbreak ended only when all the monkeys were killed. I said, and I asked the question, is he suggesting that this is the way we stop it? But listen to me closely here, everybody. This is what I want to get to. Point number 8, he said, his primary idea to stop the spread of Ebola, and this lets you know why this is in the New York Times. The New York Times is a liberal, Illuminati, Luciferian propaganda piece. And as I was reading the article, what's running through my mind is, why is this in the New York Times? Because so far he's told 99% truth. But why is it in the New York Times? Normally they want to suppress the truth and lie to the public because they have an agenda to manipulate your mind. It's what most TV is about and what most mainstream media news is about, is to manipulate your mind and keep certain facts from you. So I'm sitting here going, why is this guy being allowed to talk about this like this and give the truth that this thing could be airborne? And he's giving the truth that, you know, this thing in a few months could be infecting 5 million people. And I know because I've read other sources, doctors and other people who are willing to go on record and say, yeah, this is where we're headed. So I'm like, why is this in the New York Times? And then when I got to the end of the article, I saw why it's in the New York Times. Because their answer now, how do we stop the Ebola virus? He said, we need to give the United Nations total command and control of the nations involved. Now, for those of you who know, the United Nations is going, the Bible foretold there would be an entity, a beast, it called, of nations uniting together, and it would be Antichrist. And there would be a man rise up to be the leader of that world government, and he would be the Antichrist. And that he would lie, and through peace and safety, trying to make, quote, peace and safety, he would lie and he would get power, and then he would begin to try to exterminate Christians, Jews, and anybody else that didn't agree with him. Folks, the United Nations, now here's where it gets murky. Here's where the waters really get murky. This strain of the Ebola virus that broke out in West Africa has a United States patent on it. This is a fact. This is not conspiracy theory. This is a fact. Meaning, this virus is a genetically created virus in a biological warfare lab. Now, folks, it's no conspiracy theory to say that we can recognize that our government, not the people of the United States, but the government of the United States has been taken over by very evil men and women with a very evil agenda. And there are some of them are Republicans and some of them are Democrats. I don't trust any of them, any of the senators, any of the congressmen, Obama, his staff, Clinton, the Bush family, you name them, they're all in the same bucket. Now, when you realize that this virus has a patent on it from the U.S. government, and that our allies, like the UK and others, have access to this, and this was planned to be used as a biological weapon. There is a doctor in Sierra Leone who wrote an article for the Sierra Leone newspaper who says that he knows that this virus was planted and released by the United States. Now, I'm not talking about the United States like of us. I'm talking about the evil people who have taken over our government. Because they want, listen to me, you guys, the people in charge now want us to fall as a nation under the control of the United Nations. How do I know that? Border crisis. right? Our border, southern border with Mexico is being flooded with illegals and terrorists. We could stop it. We could secure the border. Bush didn't do it. Clinton didn't do it. Now Obama is not doing it. Why? Well, when this all those children, remember, came coming across the border, all those children that they were busing up there to create the problem, they had Obama shirts on. All those children coming across, you know what the answer was? Oh, we've got a crisis now. We've got a humanitarian crisis down in Texas at the Mexico border. We need the UN to come in. Oh, yes. Problem, Detroit. City of Detroit going bankrupt. People are broke, right? Why? Because our government allowed them to ship these jobs overseas to China. China's getting rich. We're going broke. Why are they doing that? Well, Detroit got hit the hardest because that's where all the auto industry was. So they get hit the hardest. Detroit's going bankrupt. Actually, it did go bankrupt. I don't know why I'm saying going. It went bankrupt. Right? And so people can't pay their bills. They can't even pay their water bills. So people's water was getting cut off. So all of a sudden now it's a humanitarian crisis. People deserve to have water. So guess what? Somebody invited the UN to come in. In the United States, on United States sovereign soil, the UN. Not to mention Obama and John Kerry have signed away treaties giving the UN control of our ocean. Folks, you do, and it's happening right as we watch TV and are hypnotized. We are falling under the power of the coming world government. And you guys, listen to me, you teenagers back there, they're training you in your video game that that's what's coming. Aren't they, John? You've shown it to me. John's shown it to me. Show them after church. I don't know what they're going to call the UN after it turns into the world government. They'll call it the World Federation or something like that. But the United States, the goal for the United States is to bring us down economically, militarily, and this is where it gets scary. And I've shared this before. But you know that the radical Muslim Islamists are talking about, because they don't care, you know, they'll strap a bomb on themselves. These guys will strap a bomb on themselves and walk into a church life and blow everybody up. Men, women, and children, they don't care. Right? They're doing it in Nigeria all the time. Right? But now what they're talking about doing is infecting themselves with Ebola and coming into the United States through the southern border to start it here. Folks, we are living in absolutely unprecedented times. So what is coming? We need to mark this down. Hear me. Because y'all may think this preacher's crazy, but I've learned something. I bet the farm, every dime I had, everything. If I had $1 million, all of it would go on. The Bible says will happen. You want to bet? Bet on the Bible, because God's word is true and it always comes to pass. Now, hear what I'm saying. Will this come to the United States? There's also some other mysterious disease infecting kids, respiratory problem that's putting kids in intensive care, spreading all over. I don't know how many states it's spread to now. Some of this may be just demonic. Some of it may be man-made and on purpose. But hear me, this is something I felt like I needed to share with you. Everybody turn to Psalm 91. This is a passage of Scripture. If you're a Christian, you ought to memorize. Amen? Because hear what it says, and listen, everything in the Bible, everything that you get is obtained by faith. But let me show you how faith works. Faith always works like this. You believe God's word in your heart. You speak it with your mouth, you pray it, or you act upon it if you can. Sometimes all you can do is with a certain truth is you speak it, right? I know people want to say, well, that's word of faith, that's heresy. Listen to me. Then getting saved is heresy. Because how do you get saved? Romans 10 says this. Romans 10, 9 says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, believe is much more than just in your head. It means that you trust in, you rely on, you cling to Jesus, and you have a born-again experience. But he's saying if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So how you get saved, the Bible says, is by faith. Well, first what? You believe the word of God that Jesus died for your sins, and you believe that he rose from the dead, and you believe that you're a sinner and you need forgiveness to go to heaven. So you believe that in your heart, and then you say, Jesus, forgive me, be Lord of my life. I give you my life. I turn away from my sin. I'm going to follow you. And the Bible says you'll be saved. So see, faith first is believing what God said in your heart, believing the Bible, believing the word of God, then speaking it with your mouth, and then if there's actions to take, you take those actions. Simple. Remember, faith without works is dead, being alone. You have to do something. A lot of people say, well, I believe in Jesus, but they're still drinking, they're still sleeping around, they're still partying, they're still living in sin, they're still cussing, they're still into pornography. No, if you believe in Jesus and you make Jesus Lord, you turn away from those things. You walk away. I used to be into pornography. I used to be into premarital sex. I used to be a foul-mouthed, cursing individual. I used to be a drunkard. I used to do drugs. I got saved. I turned away from those things. Jesus forgave me of my sin, but I walked away from them. That's repentance. That's the action of faith. You are not saved. Hear me. Even if you believe in Jesus, you are not saved if you've never repented and walked away from your sin. See, people want to say, Joel Osteen's okay. Joel Osteen don't preach that gospel. People now trying to defend Joel Osteen everywhere. He doesn't preach this. So by faith, so everything works by faith. Somebody say this with me. We're going to say it out loud. Faith works like this. I believe the word of God in my heart. I speak it with my mouth. And if there's actions I can take, I take those actions. That's walking in faith. Amen? So Psalm 91. You have to apply Psalm 91. How many of you know Psalm 91's got a lot of conditions in it? I'm going to show you. It's not for everybody. There are a lot of people who like to claim stuff in the Bible, but it's not for them. You know why it's not for them? Because they don't meet the condition. There's a lot of ifs in here. Right? There's a lot of, God has a lot of these, if you do this, I'll do that. A lot of people say, well, God said he'd do that. Yeah, but what do you got to do? Right? God said, I'll save you if you believe and repent. Right? Look at this. We're going to read Psalm 91. Because listen, in the days ahead, the Bible said in Luke about the last days that such terrible things are going to come on the earth that it said men's hearts are going to fail for fear. Fearful things are going to fall upon this earth. I mean, terror. You hear me? I'm talking about grown men are going to shake and weep. Let Ebola touch your household. We'll see what kind of man you are in. Let them knock on your door, the UN, and say, give us your Bibles. Deny Jesus or we shoot you right here. You don't think it'll happen? It's happening right now. In the Middle East. It just hadn't got here yet. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth, let's read it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, God Almighty, the true Creator, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Notice what he says. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. That means plagues. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, war, nor for the pestilence, and this is the word plague again, disease, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, and the word darkness means obscurity, what you can't see. Listen, you can't see those microbes in the air, can you? Said, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And listen, this may become a very true reality in America. It's already a reality in Africa. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord Jesus, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, there shall no evil befall thee again, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. But first he says, because you've made the Lord your habitation. Let me just say this. We already have two conditions. You want the protection of God? He says, first thing, you got to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. That means in a prayer life. That means in the presence of God. That literally means in the tabernacle of God. So that means in his presence and in a church family. It means both those things. I don't have time to get into all of it that it means. But the Bible is clear that you have to be in the secret place of prayer, in the secret place of his tabernacle, his presence, and in the secret place of a church family. That's part of being protected, all right? Then he says, you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, then you abide in the shadow of the Almighty. So the shadow there is the covering. And literally, the word in the Hebrew means protection. And then he says this, and then he says, I will say, somebody say that with me, I will say, speaking it out of your mouth, I will say of the Lord, Jesus Christ, the true creator, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. In him I trust. I will never change that. You have to say it. You want Jesus to be your refuge and your fortress? Say it. Say it often. Say it out loud. Say it in prayer. Say it when you're afraid. Say it. There's power in your words. The Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. The Bible says, Jesus said, every word that a man shall speak, he will give an account on the day of judgment. He said, by your words you'll be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. What comes out of your mouth will either save you or damn you to hell forever. People say, oh, it's a word of faith is heresy. No. I'm not trying to confess word out of my mouth to get a Lamborghini. That is heresy. But to live as a Christian, to live this life, you got to say something. Amen? And either you're going to say what the Word of God says, or you're going to say what your own scared mind says, or you're going to say what the devil's saying in your head. Or you're going to say what the liars and the deceivers out there say. You're going to say something. Say what God's Word says. Say what you believe in your heart. It does make it spiritual reality. Jesus cast out demons with his word, what he said out of his mouth. Your words have power, and when you put behind it in Jesus' name, it has great power. Amen?
Amen.
Then he says, it again, he repeats it, because you've made the Most High, verse 9, your habitation. Uh-oh, can I park here for a second? You know what that means? Let me explain what that means. You've made the Most High your habitation. Cherie, is this your house? Okay. You go to what grocery store do you go to mostly? Walmart? Okay. So Walmart you go to, Allison? Once a week? Right? But how often, how long, you're here most of the time, right? Now, which place is your habitation? Walmart or this house? Why? Because you live here. You stay here most of the time. You sleep here. You eat here. You pray here. You worship here. See, this is the problem in America. They visit God once in a while. When they get in trouble, or they're feeling down, they might pray, or they might go to church once in a while. They visit God, but they don't dwell with God. And guess what? You can't dwell with God unless you're willing to give up your sin, because sin separates you from God. Oh, now don't shout me down. Don't get too quiet out there. So here already we have two conditions. You have to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And you have to make God your habitation, your home, your dwelling. He's part of your life every day. I mean every day, except like if you're on vacation. But every day you wake up here, you get up here. It's your lifestyle. You live here. You dwell here. It's your habitation. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Is Jesus your habitation or just someone you visit once in a while? And, of course, the third thing is you got to say out of your mouth. Right? And let's go on down a little further. Let's keep reading. He says if you do those things, look at verse 11. Or verse 10. He says if you do those things, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, and they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Then he says, you will tread on the lion and the adder and the young lion and the dragon you will trample under feet. Now that word, the adder is a snake. The lion is another symbol of the devil. And then he talks about the dragon. So he's talking about here demon spirits and Satan himself. If you'll live this way, you'll be able to tread on them. You'll have power and authority over them, over the demons. If you don't, you won't. Now let's keep going. Look at verse 14 is another condition. Because he has set his love upon me, God says, therefore I will deliver him. And then another one. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Now, who doesn't want that promise? Don't you want, when you call upon God and ask him for something, that he'll do it for you? Well, he's not going to do it for you if you're in rebellion, if you're in sin, if you just visit him once in a while. He's not doing it. You got to be in him. You got to love him. Notice he says, because I set my love upon him. Therefore, God said, if you love me, I will deliver you. And this is pretty good right here. He said, I will set him on high because he knows my name. See, oh boy. Can I just tell you something? God has many names. One of them is not Allah, by the way, or Mary. God has many names. Yahweh is one. Yehovah or Jehovah, as we say it in English, is one. Elohim. El Shaddai. The Almighty. He has many names. The Holy One of Israel. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not the God of Ishmael. He has many names that reveal parts of his character. I have three names. Some people have four and five names. I think that's kind of odd, but I have three names, right? So God has multiple names, but let me just tell you something right now. There's one name of God that the Bible says is above every other name. Can anybody tell me what it is? Yes, sir. Nope. Exactly. The name of Jesus, say it in Hebrew, Yeshua. The name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, in Hebrew, in English, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. that name of God, and yes, Jesus is God Almighty in the flesh, that name of God is above all the others. Think about that, y'all. The Jews, before Jesus came as the Messiah, the Jews only knew the Lord as Yahweh, and they believed his name was so holy, they wouldn't even write it out completely. And when Jesus came and died on that cross, God in the flesh, it said he earned a name that is above every name. So the name of Jesus is above Yahweh. It's above Jehovah. It's above Allah. It's above all the names we can come up with. The name of Jesus Christ, he is the supreme Lord of all. That's why the Bible calls him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. That's why Isaiah 9:6 said the Son who would come. Yes, he would come as a man. God would come as a man and show us how to live as a man. But the Bible says he was the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. God is one God, manifests, reveals himself in three different ways, but he's one God, and the name of our God above every name. It's the name of Jesus Christ. That's the name that makes demons tremble. I cast demons out of a lot of people. I have demons talking through people and lifting them up in the air and throwing them across the room. The name that terrifies them. The name that makes them scream and tremble and shout is the name of Jesus. I've had them scream, demon-possessed people coming out of Satanism and witchcraft. I've walked up to them before. And they start doing this. I mean, like they can't even to look at it. Oh, boy. Like sticking a cat with a hot poker. You like that, dude? Joe better watch out. He misbehaves. Let's finish this. So he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now I want to say this very clearly because I don't want to give the wrong impression here. I don't believe that if you're a perfect Christian, nothing bad is going to happen to you. Or if you do this perfectly, I'm not saying that. Christians will suffer persecution. Some Christians will become martyrs and die for their faith. But that doesn't mean we should sit back and be idle and take anything that's thrown at us. Amen? Our job is to walk in faith, to walk in obedience, to walk close to God, hear his voice, live for him, and do these things, and we'll avoid a lot of the mess. And notice he says, he didn't say he would take all trouble from us. He said, I will be with him in trouble. All right? Folks, if you hadn't been in a serious situation, in a troubled situation, just hang on a little while. You will be. Do you want God to be with you when you're in trouble? Then be with him when you're not. Time's running out. Time is running out. We are in the last days. What's coming? We're in the beginning of the sorrows now. Jesus warned that these will be the days before the last 7 years. At the end of that last 7 years, Jesus will return. But long before he returns, in the midst of those 7 years, there's going to be a lot of stuff happen. The roars and rumors of wars will turn into world wars. Nuclear bombs will go off again in the world. How many of you know that nuclear weapons have not been used since 1945 in a war, right? They're about to be used again. economy of the United States will collapse. The dollar, the U.S. dollar, will cease to be the world reserve currency, and we will go to an implanted chip in your hand or your forehead to buy or sell. This is called the mark of the beast. The Bible says if you take that mark, you will be damned to hell for eternity because it is a pledge of allegiance to the Antichrist world government. You will face that in your life, especially you young ones. It's a fact. You will face this in your lifetime. They are very close to implementing this. When the dollar collapses, this chip will be mandatory. If you refuse it, you are put on a list to be killed. But if you take it, you go to hell forever. I've already made up my mind what I'm doing. How about you? That's coming. I know y'all don't like to hear it. I'm sorry. You need to be prepared. And some of you are even, you're rebelling. You know what? What's funny is, I think the Lord keeps having me pound it because there's still resistance in so many hearts to accepting reality. I think about Jeremiah when Israel was going to be judged and Babylon was coming. And he started prophesying this when he was a teenager. God called him to be a prophet when he was a teenager. And he started telling Israel it was going to happen, and nobody wanted to listen. Even right up to the time it happened, everybody, nah. This man, matter of fact, they started saying, this man needs to be put in jail. He's just a crazy nut. We don't even want to hear what he's got to say. And guess what? They put him in prison. And guess who came knocking? The Babylonian army. And you know what's so funny is Nebuchadnezzar had heard that Jeremiah had told him what was going to happen. And Nebuchadnezzar respected him and delivered him from prison. Pretty cool, huh? God can even make your enemies be at peace with you. In a bad time. If you're walking in the truth. Amen? Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us warnings so that we can prepare. This life can be long. It can be short. What matters is eternity. Are we ready? Are we ready to die and deal with the judgment? Are we ready? If you come in our lifetime, are we ready? Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that today, those here that are not ready, those that are listening by radio, if you're not ready, I pray, I hope you will get ready. You do that by believing Jesus died on the cross for your sin, that you're a sinner, that you deserve to go to hell. But Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood, the blood of God, so that you could be washed and cleansed from it. And then he rose from the dead to show that he is the king over life and death. And then he says, I want you to believe and I want you to follow me and obey me and live the way I want you to live. If you'll do that, you'll be saved. You'll have heaven for all eternity. If you don't, there's only damnation and destruction because if you won't go his way, you've chosen another way. And all other ways lead to eternal damnation. So Jesus says to you today, if you're not ready, I love you, I'll forgive you, I'll help you, but you have to choose me. You have to choose to do it my way. You have to choose to come and follow me and get to know me. If you do that, I'll save you. I'll give you eternal life in heaven when you die or when I come, I'll give it to you. That is the message of the Bible. That is the gospel. It's not complicated. You will either choose righteousness and follow Jesus or you will choose sin and follow the devil. Your actions will prove what you believe. But Father, I pray today for everyone here, everyone listening, that they will make themselves ready. We're going to stand. You got a blank. Thank you. camp fire. Jeremy Camp. We're going to do this short song. I'm going to give you an opportunity. I want everybody to bow your head and close your eyes, and we're going to play this song. If you want to repent and make things right with the Lord this morning, I'm going to give you a chance to do that. You come up here. I'll pray with you. The Bible says you're supposed to confess Jesus before others. It's not something you do secretly. There's no secret Christian. You do things publicly. You're not ashamed of him. So that's why we give invitations. If you need to give your life to the Lord and repent, I want you to step out when we start this song and just come stand up here and then I'll pray with you. Only if you mean it, though. If you say, I want to pray a prayer with the preacher, but I'm going to keep living the way I want to live, then don't bother. Let's do that song now. If you need to come, if you want to give your life to Jesus, if you want to change, I want you to step forward today. I did it when I was very young. God touched my life and changed my life.
Holy fire, burn away. My desire to understand that is not for you. Didn't deserve me, but I want more of you and less of me.
Oh, if you need to give your life to Jesus, if you know you're not right with God, it's time to do that today.
Holy fire, burn away. My desire is this thing that is not for you. If there's a me, I won't go for you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you today, Lord. We worship you today. We praise you today.
Come on, put us down. Says you put a thing you'll never know. Love him, says you put it after that. Only will be found in your love. In the sweet, my heart is being knitted by your touch.
In this time of desperation, all we know is doubt and fear. There is only one foundation. We believe. We believe. In this broken generation, all the stock you help us see, there is only one salvation. We believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit and giving us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection and coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than ever. Greater than the songs we sing. In our weakness and temptation, we believe. We believe. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. There's a long tree down in the temperance, in the here and now. We believe, we believe, and the gates of hell will not prevail over the power of God. The storm is fair, and now we know your love will never fail. We believe, we believe. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back. He's coming back again.
Somebody say amen, that right there. Boy, they did a good song right there. Yeah. Well, listen, we got a couple of things to do right before we go here. Got a couple of birthdays here. Emery, happy birthday to you. And we have John's birthday, of course. Happy birthday, Adeline. Happy birthday, Adeline. What's that?
Pray for Jeff.
Oh. Oh, okay. Come here. All right, let's pray. Hallelujah. The Bible says in James 5, if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them. Do we have some oil? We anoint them with oil. You got some with you? Okay. Wow. All right. Two drawing there. That's good. All right. We're going to obey James chapter 5. And this sickness has to go. Amen. Because Jesus heals the sick. Amen. So,
amen.
Father, right now we anoint Joe in Jesus' name. And we thank you, God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, we lay hands upon him and we pray for your healing power to go through his body. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, we rebuke this wheezing and this whatever's causing it. Lord, we just rebuke it and we command it to go from in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, as elders in the church, we lay hands upon him and we anoint him with oil and we pray over him the prayer of faith. God, and you said in the prayer of faith would save the sick. And Lord, you would raise them up. Lord, healing is provided, Lord, because Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter 2:24 says, by your stripes, Jesus, that you took on your back, by your stripes we were healed. It's not me healing anybody. It's not Paul or anybody else, Lord. It is obeying your word, and it's what you did, Jesus. So right now we believe it. Josiah, you believe it, just like when you got healed of that food allergy. You believe right now that you are healed, not because of Pastor Dean, not because of your dad. You are healed because of Jesus and because of obeying the scriptures that you are healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. That young man's already been healed of some things. Amen. All right, one more thing. We're going to take up the offering, tithes and offerings. The basket's just going to be over here on the little table by the door. Don't forget your tithes and offerings. We do have a few bills we got to pay as a church. Yes, thank you for joining us on Blog Talk Radio. Hope it blessed you. We'll be back on the air Tuesday night at 8 o'clock Central Time. But anyway, Andy, would you pray over the offering and dismiss us?